The last couple of days, I think, or one of the days in the last few days, I talked about the horses, the four horsemen, and nobody in the that listens to us knew what I was talking about. And so I thought that it probably would be good to see this again, because we've never done the. I think we're going to do Revelation. Well, I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to do Revelation 6 this morning. We taped it? On the web?
Yeah, it's way earlier.
Well, nobody knows it's there.
Can you go back through and find different old?
Well, the problem is you can now, but the way when at first there's just a jillion dates.
Oh.
And
no subjects.
Yeah. I think I don't know who's doing it now. Is it are you?
I have the dates on when you talked about this. She knows the dates. There's not a one.
Okay. Well, I won't. If we've got it, if it's on the list somewhere, then we will.
Big menu.
We will just take a quick look at the horseman and see what it's about. So go to Revelation 6.
That's a good idea.
Well, I think we have several.
Got somebody to find to nominate?
Revelation 1 through 5 talks about what's going on up there around the throne and everything. Now, again, you may get a different picture of this by the understanding that the New Jerusalem has come down to meet us. All right? So, on your own time, if you haven't really looked at them, you ought to read Revelation 1 through 5. But anyway, the action of the book of Revelation begins at the 6th chapter. The action gets pretty intense. All right. In verse 1, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" Now notice it's only the Lamb that can open the seals. And that is Christ in His ultimate humility or emptiness. And therefore it is Christ in you in the ultimate humility and emptiness. He doesn't open the seals as a lion or some. He opens the seals as a lamb. And therefore the seals cannot be opened unto you until you have that mind of Christ, the emptiness. The mind of Christ is the lamb in here in the flesh. Do you understand that?
I just before you started that, I had this internal thing where if I'm accused of something, I immediately have to go on a defense. But if something's said and I'm in a place of humility, there's no power that can come against me and cause me to come into myself.
Right. And when you can't until you know that you are the chief of sinners, then you will always defend. The mystery of life is that you never have to be right. And this is eternally true in intimate relationships between a husband and wife or in the body. When you give up the need to be right, that is part of the mystery of the Lamb. Boy, when you think you're right, what do? You take a stand. And a stand is the opposite of the lamb. So the book can't be opened. You look at this as some prophecy in the future or something that nobody understands or it's just ridiculous, or try to dismiss it from the scriptures. What? Something happened when I was talking just then, and it was like...
I read the label of the yogurt. And the lights went off.
And one of the four beasts... Now, you remember these beasts. What are the four beasts? The four beasts are the beasts that surround the throne. They're the four cardinal points of the compass. And if those four cardinal points... Remember, they are worshiping. They are... And the 24 elders are worshiping. That means they're bowing down. So that means if it's finished in heaven, it's damn well finished in you. Because they wouldn't be bowing down unless, you know, that. Remember we've talked about there were no seats in the temple on earth because the work was never finished? So when the elders are seated or bowing and the beasts are bowing, representing the four cardinal points of the compass represent the entirety. Then what are you doing? What are you worrying about? What are you standing up for? And again, remember the other mystery of that is if he is Lord of lords and King of kings and he's seated, then it's in ancient times it was a death penalty offense if you were standing. Or if you take a stand. Does everybody understand this? This is the predicate for understanding the book of Revelation. It's only the Lamb that opens the seals. And it's only the mind of the Lamb, the emptiness in you, that'll cause the seals to be open for you so you can see what the finished work is. Remember, this is all seeing what the finished work already is. There's nothing left to be. There's no Pentecost coming. There's no Passover coming. We celebrate the feast to celebrate his finished work. What? You look like you've been hit with a brick.
I'm getting hit with several bricks.
No.
Well, it's like that superconducting super collider with those particles in it. They, you know, just explode every stand that I want to take, every opinion that I hold. I mean, it's all nothing in time. You know,
it's worse than nothing. It's a sin.
It's bad sin.
Yeah. Because you're resurrecting the evil one.
Yeah, and trying to hold him together. But then you crash against this stuff.
There's probably another reason besides the emails I got that I'm talking about this. What?
Don't think that's lost on me.
Anybody have any? I mean, this what we said already is like big compared to what goes on in the world.
Well, I would. The concept of eternity seems somehow wrapped up in it. I was thinking that if.
It's not wrapped up in it. It is in it.
Exactly. Intertwined is what I meant. You can't be separated. And it, you know, I was thinking about Billy Graham and the golf courses too. And if there is no time, then everything there's no way for there to be a transaction. Transactions require time. Everything that humans do requires time to get it accomplished. It's the reason why. You know, there won't be any questions. Everybody talks about questions, but and it says no is your unknown. Well, without time, everything you know, and anything you don't know, you'll never know. And somehow or another, that makes some kind of special sense. I'm
gonna sidetrack. That is sweet.
Put that in that soup.
I'm with you, Tom.
We have to read. I mean, you understand before, we've talked about this a bunch of times, but chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, 1, 2, and 3 are the letters to the churches. Remember? Okay. We have to really start with chapter 4 because otherwise you don't understand what I'm talking about, okay? So he's opening. He looks. The Spirit of God is taking him in. He didn't go up to heaven, and they just opened time. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, and said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Well, hereafter is kind of... It doesn't mean like the process of time. It means that what you will see when you see time is at end.
I remember where I think I sidetracked. These people who have gone outside of time and seen something outside of time, that's where... If there is no time, there is no transaction, if you know everything that you're ever going to know at that point, then that not only explains why, you know, their lives are changed because of the difference, but it explains why you can't talk about the third heaven. Because our language, even the way that we speak, is bound up in time. I mean, I can't say a sentence without taking the time to say each individual word. And then that's why it's unlawful to speak about the third heaven, because you can't use transactions to talk about something that doesn't take place with the transaction.
Right. You can't use verb tenses. You can't use, because there is eternity isn't a long, long time. It's no time at all. Ha'olam. And so that's why it's so, you have to be apprehended by it. You cannot apprehend it. The closest you can get is chaos. That's the eternal mystery.
Yeah. I see what you're getting with chaos, too, because that's where chaos is unpredictable.
That's where you have to give up.
Therefore, there can't be a transaction.
This is what, this reminds me of when we talk about epignosis. Truth isn't knowing truth, it's being mixed with it. Because anything you can talk about is just, that's just externalized thought. It's just stuff, as opposed to, epignosis is, there's no need for thought. There's no need for
words. Well, remember the ancient prayer. Remember the ancient prayer, and then this will make more sense to you, I hope. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life, live thou thy life in me, do thou thy will in me, be thou made flesh in me. I have no life but thee, I have no will but thine. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. That can only be spoken from a place of eternity. I mean, you could speak the words, that doesn't mean anything. The gift of God is eternal life. In eternity, the book of Revelation makes perfect sense because it's made perfect sense from before the foundation of the earth, or after, from the foundation of the earth. The Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the earth. You were chosen in him from before the foundation of the earth. Abel heard the gospel. Now he's the first prophet. His blood cries out. All right. The door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet. Now, the trumpet may be in the treasurer in the temple, when the temple was on earth, was called the trumpet. So that may be this. I'm not sure. But I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit. Again, to be in the spirit doesn't mean you're running around talking in tongues or whatever the charismatic thing it is. It means you're in the place of no time. That's why Jesus said, the time coming and now is when you shall no longer worship me in Jerusalem, but worship me everywhere and always in spirit and in truth. And the truth has to be to that eternal thing. That's why truth and eternity are the same word, that which isn't dependent on time. And you will be a sign and a wonder to everyone if your life is no longer dependent on time. That's why the believers are the signs and the wonders, because there's no possible way of thinking that you can think about or you can invent that isn't time dependent. And so by your existence, you're a threat to every value system on the face of the earth. Some of you look like this is the first time I've ever talked to you about this. This is the first time you heard Torah? This is really what Torah is.
It's interesting to me, this walking in the Spirit, and I remember the early days of thinking what that was. You know, that's when you kind of develop some Christian attributes or whatever, and you're able to then walk spiritually or whatever.
No, it's just sorcery.
Right, sorcery and charis without that. And
charismaniacs.
Charismaniac.
Kuna Matata.
Yeah, the lion.
From the Lion King.
What?
Kuna Matata.
Kuna Matata, Charis Matata. It's a joke. It's a pun. Cultural reference.
Only people who watch movies would understand.
But compare that to walking out of time. I mean, it's night and day. But until you hear it, there's nothing to compare it to.
No, I know. I mean, you got to recognize it. I've been talking about the same thing for 33 years now. But until that breach, until that rip, until you experience the rip in time, then everything will be translated into time things.
Yeah, because we're still trying to use language to apprehend it.
Yeah.
Well, as long as you still think your brain works and is valuable, you will sit and strain and pay attention to try and apprehend.
Well, and that's necessary,
yeah.
Because you have to come to the end of your brain.
Light upon light.
Yeah, that's the word of the Lord was unto them as line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, until they go forward and fall back. And are snared and are taken.
Well, I'll be the wind dummy.
You'll be the what dummy?
Wind dummy. Wind dummy is the first person you cut out from an airplane or a parachute to find out if everybody's going to land and drop them or not.
Go ahead.
When it comes to saying with a sack of potatoes.
That's true. I'm gonna eat my banana.
Probably this is like, you know, no big surprise, but I can catch a glimpse of these things. But I'm still stuck with my senses and with the brain that, unfortunately, the only thing it knows to do is to talk about this stuff in realities that I can't experience. And the remaining 23 hours and 59 minutes every day, you know, something's assaulting me that tells me I have to pay attention to it. Whether I'm, you know, riding across the street and somebody honks at me because I'm about to get hit, or, you know, I'm hungry, or I'm, you know, whatever. I mean, I believe this stuff, but
I just
don't have any ability to.
That's why we exhort one another daily while it is still called today. That's why if you forsake the assembling of yourselves together, you're just a blithering idiot.
Yeah.
Because you're not assembling together to learn anything. You're assembled together to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. I don't think I've ever taught anybody one thing except, oh my God, that's crazy. That's bullshit. So, I mean, that's the role of the Elijah ministry, to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. That's why John the Baptist fulfilled that role. He was, this is Elijah, if you can hear, is what Jesus said of him. But that's, every time when we had Passover and each of us drank Elijah's cup, that was a testimony that's all you were going to do from now on is bring forth fruit necessary for repentance instead of trying to do something or crap.
Say you've drunk to yourself the seeds of your own defeat.
That's right. We're not getting very far here.
Well, you keep going backwards in the book. You started at 6 and now we're just 3.
We were so close to the end.
Who are you complaining to?
Remember, only there's no time.
And immediately means in instant, in a quicker than a nanosecond. The minute, boom, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat in the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Now, each of those symbols, and I'm not going to go through those, but each of those symbols are an attribute of God, the Father, mostly about mercy. And around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, in the priesthood, in the temple, there are 24 courses of the priesthood, and there are 24 leaders of each of those courses. And that's what I was talking about. They never sat down because there was so much to do. Now, because of the Lamb of God and His sacrifice, there's nothing left for them to do except be seated. And if it's seated, and if the Lamb is seated, if God is seated, and the 24 elders are seated, what the hell are you doing? Oh no, you got to go evangelize. You got to go do this. Or, no, the night has already come when no man can work. And they were clothed in the white raiment because they had on the righteousness of Christ. And they had the crown, which Paul and everybody else talked about, meaning the crown of both kingship and priesthood. So you never need me. I'm worthless because you're a priest and a king. You don't need me. My only job is to show you what that inheritance is. I'm like an attorney that's reading to you and showing you your inheritance. And that's why I've said forever that I'm probably the least important person here in God's eyes. But if you don't, like we were talking, when you have Bible study, there's supposed to be 10 people. Otherwise, you can't have a Bible study. You go meet with the group next to you. Otherwise, it's not a Bible study. It's just a spiritual jacking off. Because the purpose of Bible study isn't to learn something or isn't to tell people what to do. The purpose of Bible study is to exhort one another daily while it is still called today. And the only exhortation is repent. And in that intimacy, you make fun of and destroy each other's idolatry. Yeah, you got something to do. You remember what we talked about. You've got a course of action. You've got a course of action either mentally or something. You've got something to do for which you have an end in mind. That means you're not doing it as unto the Lord. You're doing it as unto self because it's your business what the results are. If you do it unto the Lord, the results are not your business. Whether it's successful or failure in your eyes is as meaningless as dust. But if it's not, if it becomes meaningful to you, then you must confess that as idolatry. Now, not just confess it, you must... That's what repentance doesn't just mean confess. It means, oh my God, there's an idol that's causing me to resurrect the Antichrist from the dead. I leave myself behind. Deeper than I ever have before. But it's so righteous to eat on the negative food because that gives you the illusion of purpose. So when things go wrong, man, that's exciting. Gives your meaningless life some meaning for a minute. Well, I'm laughing at that quadrant.
Good try.
We've had some meetings lately.
I'm sitting here checking to myself because I finished your sentence. You have something to do, and then I said to myself, upon which the fate of the universe hangs.
No, that's only for you.
Everybody thinks you're living Star Wars.
And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. So Someday I'm going to talk about the seven spirits and the seven eyes, but I'm not going to do it today. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. What's the sea of glass? It's always the human race. Before the throne was this human race. That's what he saw. He saw the human race, but now he saw it as just a sea like unto glass. That's why he saw himself when the beast came up out of the sea. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were four beasts, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Now those all are the attributes of the fullness of Christ. And the four beasts, and again, these are the four cardinal points of the compass, which symbolically mean they covered everything. The four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat in the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat in the throne and worship him that liveth forever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. There can be nothing that isn't of him. Now, the beasts, they went from being beasts, just sitting around. Now, they had eyes within. Now, what happened? They did not cease. The beast represents all cardinal points of the compass. The eyes within and without. I think just within. But the point of it is, now they look, and wherever they see after the sacrifice of the Lamb, wherever they see every tongue is confessing and every knee is bowing, saying Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay, now tomorrow we'll study verse 5, chapter 5. We just look at it anyway. Any questions?
Time tomorrow.
When does that mean? 7:30.
Saturday.
Oh, shut up. Huh? And you wonder why I get back at you so often. I ignore everybody. Yes, I do. Well, I ignore you because you notice it.
You have no idea how much that aggravates me.
I do. Oh, yes, I do.
The fact that I notice.
All right. Anybody have any response to Harry? Take a big guy.